Okay, it's October 11th, 2022. It is 13:17 hours. I've been awake since about, let me think now. Was it 10 or 11? I think it was one or the other. I think it was more like 11. Yeah, but I didn't get to sleep right away. I went to bed about 3. Did not get to sleep. But it's okay. I mean, I got to sleep soon enough, I think. So, I mean, I feel like I've had... But yesterday I had about 3 hours. So, well, actually 3 hours, I believe. Not just about 3 hours, about exactly 3 hours. I mean, pretty well exactly 3 hours sleep, so I don't know how I did it. I think it was because I took so much vitamin K2. That's what I think. Now, it did give me a little bit of sort of diarrhea, but not diarrhea. So, but I know my body very well. I know what causes what, because my diet is very steady. I mean, I've learned how the food affects me over a period of many months and years of studying what I eat and what supplements I take and so on. And I know that this diarrhea was related to this taking of 12 vitamin K2 gel caps in addition to my regular. That means I took 22 gel caps in one day, which is a lot, you would think, right? So it could easily do something like cause diarrhea or whatever, but I don't think it will cause diarrhea. It didn't last night. I took 12 more last night in addition to my daily, and it didn't cause diarrhea last night, not this morning. So I think it was an adjustment. The body makes an adjustment, and then the diarrhea was more likely caused by the release of toxins in the body after I took the good stuff, right? Like vitamin K2 is the good vitamin, the best vitamin. I mean, other than calcium, which you cannot deny, because calcium is the main mineral in the body, you can't sort of say that. And vitamin D, which is also essential to the absorption of calcium, and all other minerals by being absorbed into the vitamin D receptors in the intestine, and then vitamin D allows all these other minerals to be absorbed by the intestines. Without vitamin D and without calcium, I mean, we wouldn't exist. So it's we can't put vitamin K2 ahead of them, and we can't put it ahead of magnesium, obviously, either, because magnesium is needed with calcium. We can't really put it ahead of boron if boron's needed to form bone, which we believe it is. All these things that we already know we need, we can't put vitamin K2 ahead of them, but in a way they seem less important once you know about K2, because, I mean, in a way they do. They don't really, but K2 is so essential and crucial and powerful. As I learned yesterday in my research, and as I reported, I believe, in the video, where I did that one search for diarrhea and vitamin K2, and I found a zillion things. It reminded me, too, of the fact that if you take, of the apparent, it's not a fact, it's a scientific study that showed that in Japan they're doing it, because it's legal to use vitamin K2 in Japan in these large doses. It's legal here, too, but it's not legal to import the form of it into North America. It wasn't, anyway, some years ago, to get it in the concentrated form that you need. I'm trying to think what that form was now. Why would that be? Oh, because you just can't eat enough. You can't eat enough of it in the gel caps. You know, you just to take 45 milligrams, you'd have to take, I mean, I take 120 micrograms, right? You multiply that times 10, that's a milligram. Multiply times 45, you'd have to take 450 gel caps to get 45 milligrams or something like that. You know, it's a large, I mean, it's a huge, it's not exactly 100 micrograms per gel cap, it's 120. So it wouldn't be quite that many that you'd have to take, maybe, but whatever it is, it's too many. 10 times 45, right? 450, whatever. If you have to take 400 gel caps or 420 gel caps, that's too many to swallow. So, because you're getting all sorts of gelatin and things in the capsule that you don't want to have in your stomach. In addition to the active ingredient in the capsule, in the gel cap. Anyway, I mean, you know, we could talk all day long about unimportant things like capsule material. But it's very important as well. We just don't have the time to dwell on everything or to delve into everything in every, you know. Yeah, I'm not even talking about videos. I'm talking about we don't have the time to delve into it in our own personal research. We don't have time to research everything every day, let alone make a video about it. Forget that. Completely forget it. It's not going to happen. We're not going to make a video about everything, obviously. And we're not even going to research one tiny fraction of what we could research every day. That's why selectivity is so important. It's absolutely, you know, the most important thing probably in life is to select what you're going to do on a given day. That's the most important thing that there is. And that doesn't sound very interesting, but that's what it is. That's really it. Because if you select the right thing to do, you're going to have a fantastic day. Actually, it is interesting. You're going to have a fantastic day if you discover the cure to a major disease every single day because you made the right decision on what to research. I mean, it's unbelievable maybe that could really be the case that you could do that. But I'm doing that. I'm finding that I'm doing that sort of thing. I'm actually making discoveries every day that are comparable to discovering the cure for cancer, except not cancer, but some other disease and cancer. But one of the major diseases I'm discovering the cure for every single day. That's what it feels like. I mean, it's not really that. It can't be quite that good because I'd be dead of excitement, right? If that were happening, I wouldn't be able to get any sleep. I'd be tripping and falling down the stairs or whatever. You know, I'd be too excited. I'd have problems caused by excitement, right? If you can't sleep, that's not healthy. So, I mean, I didn't sleep the other night. That was because, or I should say, was it last night? It was the night before. That could have been because I took all the vitamin K2, or it could have just been because I was excited by something that was going on with my current research and my current videos. No, I know what it was, too. I was researching cameras. Yeah, I researched cameras quite a lot on the day when I got the 3-hour sleep after that because I was excited and wound up. But when I do a lot of research, my energy level or my health or whatever it was, my tooth problems for one thing, but all the different things that play into your health. If you're not at peak health, you can't. If I'm not at peak health, I'm going to talk about myself, not about anyone else. But if I'm not at peak health, I can't do enough. Or I can't do as much. It's not that I can't do enough. I can always do enough research. That comes from faith that Jehovah knows exactly what we need to do every day, and that we don't, you know, Jehovah knows it's not quantity, it's quality of research, right? We don't every day have to do a large quantity of research. That's another aspect of it, okay? But sometimes when we're in peak health, we can do a lot of research every day, and that's when, I haven't been doing that recently, but that's when we don't really get more done when we're doing that either. I say it's the opposite, because when we're doing a lot of research, it's because we're not finding anything. And that's what was happening with the camera research. I was finding nothing. I couldn't find the camera that I wanted to buy, basically. I mean, I found every camera. I just couldn't find out. I couldn't find I couldn't get the understanding of what I needed to know, or which camera was the best one, or which, you know. I mean, and then when you finally get down to it, the whole field of cameras is unlike any other field in the ridiculous complexity of it, for one thing. I mean, there's aperture size, which determines depth of field, which is what's in focus, and how far away it is, where the focus is determined by what you focus on. But the depth of field, or the depth of focus is determined by the aperture size and some other things too, isn't it? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's determined by focal length too. Like a telephoto lens will have a much narrower depth of field in the sense that, maybe it's not really a narrower depth of field, but because a telephoto lens can see so much further, whatever you're focused on is much sharper in focus than things that are much further away and much closer. But in a telephoto lens, you know, a small amount of adjustment means a big distance. So, I mean, things are way out of focus or they're sharply in focus with a telephoto lens. But it's the depth of field is calculated. You can calculate it from these other things. It could be calculated using mathematical physics formulas, whatever you want to call them. It's just, you could easily calculate it once you have been shown how to do it by somebody who has done it, or if you had to figure it out. I mean, well, how do you define depth of field anyway in the first place? Like, what do you consider in focus and what do you consider out of focus? You'd have to define that first. So you don't really do all these things yourself because somebody has already done that. Somebody's already made the definitions of what it means to be in focus, what the definition of depth of field is, or what, whatever. But they can simulate what it looks like even in the depth of field simulator, which is online, right? I mean, and there's other you can put your camera information in and get the result. I did a lot of research yesterday, even more so than I did, or maybe I didn't do more research. I'm not sure which day I did that. I was trying to make a purchase. I can't make a purchase because I don't have the money at the moment. But the thing is, I'm close to being able to make a purchase, but then I keep thinking, oh, I'm not going to make that purchase because, for one thing, Ventura, I learned this morning, the new Mac OS allows us to use our iPhone as a webcam with our Mac. So I can use the MacBook Pro. That would be my Mac, and I can use my iPhone, probably, as a webcam in OS Ventura once I install Ventura. So in the meantime, I don't have to really run Ventura either. I mean, I don't need to install Ventura. Why am I getting all these reflections? I need to find a way. That's better, I think. I need to find a way to get rid of the reflections. But Ventura is, maybe it's going to be a good Mac OS. But I thought of something else today. We don't know. I don't know anything about Ventura. I don't recommend anything. I'm just saying. But Mac OS is never, we're never under pressure to upgrade our OS. It's not like Windows where they're pressuring you all the time to get the new Windows version. In Mac OS, they never pressure us. I never feel pressure to get the new Mac OS. And there are people who run the old Mac OS for many, 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 many years. They never upgrade their OS. And if you buy a new Mac computer, you get a free OS with it. So you get the new OS then. You don't ever have to upgrade your OS, but you always get free upgrades if you want to upgrade the OS with your old computer. You can do that. So, I mean, Mac OS is amazing. I think I made the right decision in buying my iPad because even though, you know, I just don't believe in buying I do believe in buying new technology, definitely. I'm an early adopter, but I don't believe in buying something before all the reports come in about what the bugs are and what the problems are, what the defects are in the hardware and so on. So I'm not interested in being tempted by the new technology when it comes out. I don't have any interest in that. I have a lot of interest in the new technology, but I have not so much with iPad. And not once I've just bought one. But I want to buy a computer that's almost a year old. So I know what the problems were before I buy it. Or I want to buy an iPad that's that old. I don't want to buy a new one that's just come out. It's the same thing with every device. I don't want to buy a new device. I want to buy one that's almost a year old. The exception was, I waited a couple of months, I guess, before I bought the M1 Macs, MacBook Pro, my laptop that I've got now. I waited a couple of months, but that's because it was the reports were so glowing. They were so phenomenal. The reports were so over the moon, kind of, you know, like, this is the greatest thing ever. Those were the reports we got with the M1 Max, so I knew it was a good computer. Plus, I needed a new computer at that time. I couldn't even run my iMac without the beach ball or the hourglass or whatever it was, you know. I couldn't run the computer anymore, the old one. I can run it now for my Bible research, but I don't need to run it all the time. I mean, I don't need to run all the programs. You know, I don't have to be using all the memory, so it's not going to have the beach ball. But the iMac, the other thing about having a computer, it's better if you run that computer as not the fastest fan speed, because that can wear out the fan, but somewhere higher than the lowest fan speed. You want to have enough cooling for a computer, usually. But no, I'm not running my I'll probably, as my M1 Max MacBook Pro gets older, it's warm right now. I'll probably want to get a fan program and run that fan a little higher, so that it's, as long as I don't care about, I mean, as long as I'm not recording music and I have to have the fan quiet or something. I mean, obviously I'm not recording music right here, so it's not an issue out here. So I've got my iMac. I can hear the fan, I believe, right now, because it's got a manual program I downloaded. A free program. You can get free programs that will control the fan speed, and that's what I'm running on High Sierra on that old iMac. But I adjust the fan speed to be something high enough, you know, not maximum, but, you know, middle, or, you know, even, you know, as high as I can run it without getting significant noise or too much noise. But the reason why you want to run your computer at a decent fan speed is because you want cooling. But the reason for that is because you don't want it to wear out. For example, these iMacs are notorious. These 2011 iMacs are notorious for the problem they have with the video card wearing out, and that's possibly an overheat problem. I'm not sure what causes that, but the cure for that was to bake it. Take the thing apart, remove the video card, put it in the oven, bake it at the whatever the temperature they tell you to bake it at, and then bring it out again and put it, reinstall it again, which is quite a complicated procedure, but it can be done. But the iMac, but I didn't have to do that yet, and I've got two iMacs. So if one of the iMacs develops a problem, I had one day, there was one day I had a video issue. Something went haywire and I just rebooted. I don't think that was the same problem as the one with the video card, but I had some kind of a video issue where the screen went, you know, on the fritz or something, and I had to, well, I don't know if I had to reboot, but rebooting fixed it. Because I was doing something at the moment. At that time, I was making a video. No, I was watching, something, or talking to somebody, and so, that's right. But anyway, if I've got two iPads, one in the studio, one out here, the other one in the studio, I don't have all the programs installed on it that I have on this one. So, but if I had to, I could use the other iPad, which I've hardly ever used. It's in the studio. I don't use it every day. So it's probably still near to brand new. So that old iMac is perfectly maybe good for another 10 years or something. So I'm not really concerned about getting any more, any more Intel Macs. The new Apple Silicon are what I'll probably be running on my new computers, but it's hard to say because I don't know what Apple's going to do next. Apple does amazing things. I like to buy computers that have been out for a while, but not when I need one desperately. But only if the reports are perfect do I buy something. Usually, like when I bought those iMacs, the reports on them were fantastic. And I've had a failed hard drive. In the one I'm using now, the hard drive failed. it didn't matter because I'm booting off an external SSD anyway now, so I managed to just switch over to that way of doing it using an external Echo Dock from Sonnet Technology, I think it's called. Sonnet Tech, yeah. And so I'm able to keep running that even though the hard drive failed. And then the video card might fail in the future, who knows, but it's always a good idea. One of the reasons the hard drive might have failed was it might have got too warm because I didn't have the cooling vents open enough. I had some papers underneath to block the airflow. Back then, and when I first got the iMac, I didn't think about any of that stuff. But I learned over time to keep on, you know, as the computer got older, I kept treating it better. I kept on, you know, I improved the ventilation by not blocking the air holes, obviously. That's a good idea, not to block those air holes. But the hard drive failed for whatever reason, and many people had these hard drives fail. And then there's the video card failure, but also I learned about the fan speed idea, too, to manually control the fan speed. And I even bought an upgrade for the internal drive, but all you have to do is eject the drive every time it boots. Eject the internal drive every time it boots and just run off the external drive, which it boots off of anyway. So you get a warning every time you boot, and it says eject the drive or what do you want to do, and I just eject the internal drive. It's not really ejecting anything, it just makes it be quiet. So that works fine, but it was a workaround, right? But I bought an SSD with the purpose of installing it, and I'm using the SSDs I bought. I've bought several SSDs since then, which are about 2 terabyte or something. But or one of them is 1 terabyte. I've got a couple of SSDs that I'm using for storage, and I could have installed it internally, but I never got around to it. I bought the proper thing from OWC, Otherworld Computing, OWC. They sell a kit for installing a hard drive because you need a temperature sensor, and if you don't have the right device connected to the hard drive into the internal boot drive, you get problems that you won't otherwise get with those iMacs. So there was a kit they sold, and I bought the kit, but I never installed anything because I worked around it. But it was important for me to have the opportunity to install it internally if I needed to. You know, and I intended to at some point, but I'm not really for sure. I just intended to if I needed to. So I was aware that I could. So let's talk about vitamin K2 again, because I've taken again 12 more last night that I, you know, additional. My tooth is better, I think, because of it. See, because vitamin K2 is associated with calcium very closely, and with vitamin D, and they all work together, vitamin D, calcium, and K2, to make a phenomenal, powerful, you know, combination of vitamins, and it's part of the workings of the body, and we know very little about the workings of the body, but it's part of the workings of the body, and these are some of the nutrients that we believe are the most important ones of all for health, like calcium, vitamin D, and K2, which very few people, considering how important it is, very few people up till recently even knew about it. It's probably the same thing as the Activator X that the dentist Weston Price discovered, which prevents dental crowding in the teeth if you take it when you're young. Or you don't have to take a supplement. You can eat the food that has it in it. But it has vitamin K2 in it because K2 seems to be the same as this Activator X. It's the thing that prevents dental crowding because it allows the bone to grow in fully, right? And so if your jaw is big enough, you don't get crowding. So it's essential for the formation of bone. Vitamin K2 is essential for the formation of bone. And it prevents arthritis or reverses or prevents atherosclerosis. It takes the calcium from the places in which it's not supposed to be, like in the arteries. So you're not supposed to have calcium in the arteries, on the walls of the arteries. You're not supposed to have calcium in the joints of your hands. Vitamin K2 allows the body somehow to get that calcium out of there and put it in the bones. So it's like it's an intelligent vitamin. It's not like any other vitamin, and it also it's more than this. It's far more than that, because it uses vitamin D and uses it up, so it's not sitting around building up, which is toxic if it builds up. And now most of the information you're going to read online, it's not whether it's online, it's whether it's mainstream. Most of the mainstream information that you're going to read is going to be false. It's going to be wrong. So you can't trust, especially if it's mainstream, you can't trust it. If everybody thinks they know it, then you know it's wrong. That's basically how it works. That it always works this way. Because if they were right, we wouldn't have all the people getting cancer. We wouldn't have all the diabetes. If they were right, we wouldn't have any problems. So they're all wrong, clearly. That's important to understand, okay? Anyway, and vitamin K2 is so important for the bones and the calcium that I think it's probably going to help me with my issues with the teeth and so on. And calcium makes every nerve fire. That's right. Nerves cannot even fire without calcium. Literally. So your heart can't beat without calcium. You can't feel pain without calcium. You can't get the healing signal without calcium. You can't get anything working nervously. Your muscles, in other words, cannot contract without calcium. It's absolutely, and that's not all. I just can't even mention all the things it does. Hundreds of processes depend on calcium, including hormone production and the regulation of probably even the hormones that regulate the use of calcium are controlled by calcium. Everything's controlled by calcium. I mean, I don't doubt it's everything, but also calcium's also the nutrient that drags other nutrients into the cell and feeds the cell, because of the way calcium can bind to other nutrients. No other atom can do that like calcium. And you don't produce calcium from other elements. It can't be done. You have to eat it. You have to eat calcium or you won't have it, because it leaves your body every time you eat, especially when you eat sugar and protein and things that cause your kidneys to excrete calcium. But anyway, all these things we could talk about probably, you know, more or less. That's the thing. But the thing is, with calcium, you don't really have to worry about getting too much of it or any other. It's not like you can take too much calcium. It'll just go through your body and come out, you know, your intestines or, you know, or it'll be excreted through your kidneys or whatever. If your body doesn't need it, it's not like it's going to hurt you. But it does hurt you if you take too much calcium and you don't have the K2, because was getting arthritis in my hand, because calcium will go places where it shouldn't go if you eat too much of it. So that's why people don't want to eat too much. Plus, they get constipated when they eat calcium, so they need more magnesium. And they don't know they need magnesium, so they think they should stop eating calcium. But, by the way, magnesium doesn't work to relieve constipation if you don't have any calcium. You need both. There's a lot of things to learn about it, but calcium can trigger, it can trigger the proper bowel function, but you will have to have magnesium to some extent. Oh my goodness. But what I'm talking about is the K2. The K2 is so important to the way that the calcium does everything in the body that K2 is called the calcium facilitator vitamin. Calcium facilitator. I mean, that means you're dead without K2, essentially, is what that means. So if I've got a problem, 99,000 times out of 99,001 times, I'm going to need K2. That's what that tells me. That's what it should tell me. I need more K2 if I've got a problem. And I didn't know this. I've never thought of this before, right? It's logical, but it never occurred to me. But because I've just discovered about K2 and how it works, and I was frightened, you know, frankly, like we should be frightened about anything new, or about eating something that is so powerful, that's a vitamin, that can change your life for the better. That means it also could maybe hurt you. But it I knew it was powerful and that it was beneficial, and I wanted to try more of it. I wanted to, you know, not experimentation exactly, but I wanted to test. It's not putting it to the test. I'm not saying this is a fun experiment. That's not it. It's I could live or die, and I could prolong my life possibly by taking more K2. That's what it is about. Getting more health, getting more energy, and living longer and healthier. That's the reason to do it. It's not an experiment in the sense that, well, it wasn't that fun. It's an experiment. Well, that is life-changing, that kind of experiment. And that's not putting God to the test. That we put God to the test in this case by not taking enough K2. That would be putting God to the test, because we'd be saying, I don't need the crucial vitamin, Jehovah. I can just do it on my own, some other way, which is it's foolish. When you're aware of what K2 can do, how powerful it is, it's foolish to ignore it or to deprive yourself of it. See, I feel far more energetic today than I have, and it's just because I've taken probably 22 times the recommended, which is a meaningless number, but because there's no known toxicity with K2, but it's about 22 times the recommended. For the past 2 days, I've taken that much per day. So that's 22 caplets or gel caps, I mean, every day, or both days. So it's, and I still take some of my other supplements. I don't necessarily take the omega supplement every day, nor do I take the multi every day, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, but the main food, I don't eat salad every day. There's lots of things I don't do every day. I've got the bean dish going on right now, and I had fried some potatoes that were old, the last of my potatoes that were getting old. I fried them up to make some home fries, and that I just finished that. That's my breakfast, and I'm having my matcha tea latte, and I think if I can get my teeth problem, you know, I'm starting to think, I'm honestly believing that K2 might prevent the need for root canals. That's what I'm thinking. I'm actually thinking that's possible because calcium is needed not just for bone health, but even bone health could be related to why you need a root canal. That's possible, easily. But it could be related to that. But calcium feeds the cells of the tissue, which is bone is tissue too. But I'm talking about the ligaments that hold the tooth in the canal in the bone, right? The tooth canal where the root goes into the bone of the jaw. These ligaments are needed to grab on and hold tight onto the root of the tooth. They're some kind of tissue of, I don't know much about them. There's some kind of, they're a living tissue. Obviously, so is bone, a living tissue. But when they die, when the nerve dies, the nerve, that's what I'm thinking. The bone, the nerve in the tooth is living tissue. When that nerve dies, it's not going to die maybe in this case, because if we give it enough K2, that's the point. When it dies, maybe it's deficient in something. Probably that's it, because we get older. As we get older, we get deficient in a lot of things. But it's not like older people take more supplements. That's for you young people, that's not always how it works. Not everybody takes supplements. Some older people just die. So, and some other people, whether you take supplements or not, as far as we know, people still die. Maybe we don't die if we take the right amount of every nutrient. That's what I'm wondering here. But I'm wondering if the nerve will not live on longer. I'm convinced it will. It's only logical that if nerves die, that we can keep them alive by feeding them. That's only logical. So the question is, what do you feed them? The most important nutrient I've been made aware of recently is vitamin K2. Definitely, by far. It's the most important vitamin by far that I know of which I know. I mean, of all the vitamins about which I know something, right? I don't even know much about it. I probably know the least about it compared to what it is capable of doing. But vitamin K2 is the most important vitamin I've ever heard of, by far. And I thought, I mean, vitamin D is important, obviously. Vitamin C is the, vitamin D boosts, I mean, vitamin C, not D. D is great for absorbing minerals. Some people say that it helps to prevent COVID, but I'm not even, I take tons of D every day. I take lots of it anyway. So I'm not even interested in them saying that. Vitamin C, so I don't even know how I'm saying this. I can't believe I'm saying that about vitamin K2, because vitamin C literally boosts your immune system and cures all infections. That's how powerful vitamin C is. It's the cure for all infections. And yet, I'm saying this, that vitamin K2 is by far the most important vitamin. How can that be true if vitamin C cures all infections? But that's what I'm saying. That's what I believe has got to be true, because of what I know vitamin K2 can do, and I know because of what I've already learned, and I haven't learned probably any more than scratching the surface about what it can do. It's just mind-boggling what vitamin K2 can do. So I'm going to be trying to get more vitamin K2 to see what is going to happen. And I will be very careful. And I know my body. I know how it reacts to all sorts of things, because I've been taking the same food and the same supplements for basically years. But it changes over time. But I slowly changes over time. But I've been, I know my own body, and I know how healthy it is. And I know when it's not right. And I know Jehovah can help me diagnose when there's an issue. But we need to not use any substances. I want to talk about things like piercings and tattoos, because it seems to me this has always mortified me. When I see young girls piercing their ears, it mortifies me. It's horrific, and I don't, to say that I don't like it is a vast understatement. It makes no sense to me why somebody would pierce their body in any way. Now, if they've already done it, it's too late to undo it. But they can still let it heal over if they feel that way. If they feel the same way I do, they would not have piercings in their body. Because I don't find, I mean, it's not because of how I feel. It's because of the disrespect it shows for the body. To do that to the body, and to the disrespect it shows for your skin, but the disrespect it shows to your Creator, Jehovah, who created you, you know. But to understand that you can love your own body without trying to modify it is a very, it's such an obvious thing to me. It's obvious when you're very young, you don't think about piercing your body. It would never occur to you. That's, we want to have the mind of a child in that way, where we don't want to modify our bodies. The other thing is tattoos. If you've already got tattoos, well, maybe it's, you can't undo them very easily, so it's not really something you should worry about. But the process of getting tattoos, okay, it's the process of the piercing and the process of the getting tattoos. Those things are detestable to Jehovah, the Creator of all things. Because, well, it's like somebody who takes a piece of equipment, they buy it, and then they modify it. Now, obviously, I mean, I'm not going to say that there aren't exceptions to that rule of modifying equipment, but that's not the same as your body, obviously. But I generally don't think there are any exceptions to this. If you choose to buy a product, you're giving the manufacturer the power to determine how it was built. If you don't like the product, buy from another manufacturer or whatever, but you shouldn't be modifying the devices that you bought. You should use them the way they were intended, as closely as possible, obviously. We do add cases to our phones. We do also, you know, we do a lot of modifications in some ways or others. Yeah, I mean, but it's not so bad with devices. You can modify, I'm sure lots of people want to buy a car and then modify it because you know, they buy this and they modify it. They buy devices, computer, and then they modify it. Now, I'd be very careful about modifying computers unless you know what you're doing, but I'm just saying, and or cars for that matter, but a lot of people. I mean, you can get into real trouble and endanger other people's lives, too, when you modify something. It's not a small thing. But to not love yourself the way God created you, the way you were created, to try and modify it. Now, let's say you were born with a defect and that can be rectified. Maybe that is something you might make an exception for that, obviously, right? It would seem like if you can really rectify it without... I can't think of an example. Well, if you were born blind and you just needed a... I don't know if this is possible, but let's say you were born blind, but you could have a minor procedure to rectify that and regain your sight. I think that would be probably a good idea to regain your sight. But you know what, though? If you think about it, every disadvantage can be turned into an advantage by looking at it as discipline. You could say, well, that person, like, look at Stevie Wonder, what he did with music, which maybe if he hadn't been blind, he wouldn't have been able to do that with music. So maybe a blessing comes out of these things. And maybe we don't need to try to rectify these illnesses in the same way that people are doing, with all the damage they're doing to their bodies, and they're dying of some other disease eventually. And maybe the disease they're dying of is closely related to the modifications they did. Hopefully not, right? We don't hope for anyone to die. I'm trying to think. No, we pray for our enemies. I'm trying to think, is there anyone... for whom we pray that they will die? No, because even the devil... We know that the devil will die, right? He was an angel who chose to do bad. We know he's going to die. We don't have to pray for him to die, in the case of the devil. So, but we know that humans can generally, they can always repent, as far as we're concerned. We don't know if they're deliberately, you know, doing wrong on purpose. I mean, that is, we don't know if they're doing it deliberately. So we don't know if they can repent or if they're unforgivable. We don't know that. So for humans, we can never hope for them to die. In good conscience, we can't do that. We always pray for them to repent. But I mean, there are a lot of things. A lot of people think people, especially people who haven't learned all these things already, younger people, but anybody can fall into these things. They want to rush into doing things, and because they think their life is not going fast enough, and they're in a hurry to do all these things, like try all these strange and different things that might be offered to them by the world. Like, the world offers them drugs, the world offers them all these body modifications, the world offers them these things, and the children, young people, are in a hurry to rush into these things. Because they think that their life is you know, they're impatient. They think that life is going by too fast and they're going to miss it if they don't do these things. But you know what? I'm in some ways susceptible in the very same ways. For example, with buying new technology, I'm susceptible to temptation. I'm tempted right now to buy a camera, but I've learned in a lot of my purchases that waiting really helps. Like, what was I finding out? I learned something. If I have something in the past that I purchased and now I can't get it anymore, yeah, I would have just reordered that item. But if I can't get it anymore, then I'm more likely to sit, to rethink and say, wait a minute, maybe I can make it myself. I don't have to buy it. I just need to get a recipe and make my own. Like with toothpaste, I ended up making my own toothpaste. I never, that came about, but it and that was, once it happens, it can happen. It can happen quite, quite quickly, as well. I'm not saying things can't happen quickly, but they should be. You don't want to rush into something that could be a bad thing, either. I mean, that's the idea. You want to rush into things that you don't. You never want to rush, but you want to. You don't have to take as much time if you desperately have a need for something, and you found the perfect solution. Obviously, you're not going to have to wait, you know, to get that solution to implement. I mean, to implement that solution, you don't have to always wait for every solution before you implement it. I mean, but you know, it always is better to wait. It's always better to take time. I was thinking about this the other day when I was making a video, and I didn't get around to discussing how it is with designing something. You get an idea that I need something here, you know, because I have this problem, and I need this device, like I need a piece of wood to block the light from the heater. So I've already got something rigged up for that. That's pretty much a no-brainer. I think I don't have to modify that design. It's just there. But a lot of times we have a problem, we don't know the answer. Sometimes we think we need to order something from online to solve our problem, and we don't actually have to do that at all. There's another solution, we just haven't thought of it yet. Or, I mean, it could be, it's a better solution, we just haven't understood the problem well enough. And I'm not thinking of specifics or examples here, but I know that that's true of a lot of the things that I do. Like, I have a routine where I do the same things every day, right? And then all of a sudden I realize, well, that routine makes no sense at all. You know, I don't need to do that. I can do things this other way. But because I had established the routine before as something that I thought was the best way, I stayed in the routine. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, really. There's nothing wrong with having a routine. There's nothing wrong with staying in the same routine. That's how you learn to make distinctions. As Tony Robbins says, repetition is the mother of skill. Skill is the ability to make distinctions between one situation and another situation, between one state of being and another state of being. The ability to make distinctions, like between rough and smooth. The distinction between rough and smooth, to be able to make that. That's a good illustration maybe for this design idea, because if you think this design is rough, then you want to make it smooth. You want to make it so it doesn't seem to be lacking anything, whereas actually rough might be the better design. Like, it might be better to have it where it's not all figured out. Like, when I was younger, I tried to design things, and I used to go through great pains to design things. And if I manufactured something, which maybe I made it out of cardboard or something, I don't know what I was doing back then, but if I did manufacture something, I'd go to great pains to do it exactly in a certain way. And then I'd learn after that that didn't work at all, so I didn't need to go to all the trouble. So smooth, I mean, the whole design failed, or it just didn't. It wasn't what I thought it was at first. That smooth isn't so great. Rough is better sometimes, because you can actually make another change. Eventually it might become smooth, but it doesn't ever have to be. Smooth in the sense of being perfect. It never has to get to that point. When you're designing something, you never have to get to that state where everything's perfect. Now, when it comes to technology, I'm not interested in buying the latest and greatest, because that, to me, it could end up being rough. You don't know, right? So if you want to buy smooth, something that's perfected, you wait, because the OS has to be debugged, everything, you know. You wait for a while. And, you know, in the case of the laptop that I'm using here now, it was only a couple of months, and I knew this was the one that I should take a risk on it, because, but we'll find out, though. Maybe it will turn out to be a mistake if something fails later on. I'm going to have to figure out how to keep it cool. It's not very warm right now, actually, but heat is the enemy of electronics, and it will eventually kill the chips, so the your system will die because of being too warm. And 1 degree temperature difference might make a big difference over the long haul, depending how warm we're talking about. When we're saying warm, it depends. We don't need to get into the specific temperatures, but Apple designs the systems to be capable of working for quite a while, quite a long time, possibly many, many years, before they fail at the temperatures that Apple, at which Apple designs them to run. So, and Apple builds in fans when they think they need fans. Not every device has a fan. So anyway, that's it. So let's get on with our study here. Psalms 10 today, little children. Jehovah, Father in heaven, help us to understand the scriptures in their entirety and to understand how they can help us in our everyday lives. And help us be humble in Jesus' name when we read the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to the director of David in Psalm 11, in Jehovah I have taken refuge. How dare you men say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked ones themselves bend the bow. They do make ready their arrow upon the bowstring to shoot in the gloom at the ones upright in heart. When the foundations themselves are torn down, what must anyone righteous do? Jehovah is in his holy temple. Jehovah in the heavens is his throne. His own eyes behold, his own beaming eyes examine the sons of men. Jehovah himself examines the righteous one as well as the wicked one, and anyone loving violence his soul certainly hates. He will rain down upon the wicked ones traps, fire, and sulfur, and the scorching wind as the portion of their cup. For Jehovah is righteous. He does love righteous acts. The upright are the ones that will behold his face. That's Psalms 11. But this is fascinating. He hates violence. See, so a piercing is violence to your body. You're doing violence to your body. When you pierce your body, he hates violence. That explains why Jehovah doesn't like these things. Tattoos are violence to your body. You're violating what was there, replacing it with something else, or covering it over with some artwork or something. That's a violation. So, and modifying equipment is different because it's not your body. The equipment was made by humans. It wasn't made by Jehovah. Like, your body's not made by humans in the sense that it grew out of an embryo. You know, the DNA allowed it to exist and grow. But, you know, this is something not created by humans, even though we have a part in reproduction. But that doesn't mean that we created it. Not like the same way that humans create, you know, a computer from elements mined from the ground, you know, things like that. Now, Jehovah made man from the dust, from the ground. You know, that doesn't mean that it was evolution. That's an important point also. You know, the idea of any theory is not proven unless you can reproduce the results. They've never caused evolution to happen. Now, I'm sure because I'm saying that even now, if they haven't already tried, they're going to now try to cause evolution to happen. And they're going to claim, well, we caused evolution to happen in the lab. If they haven't claimed that already, I'm sure they're going to try and do that. But the whole idea of evolution, you can't prove it in a lab anyway. Because it's supposed to happen over a long period of time. And, well, maybe, you know, I guess it is possible. But the idea, I mean, it's possible that It's possible. It's not. It's highly unlikely, to say the least. The thing is, we know that species are not immutable. I mean, they're not mutable. Species are immutable. They don't, like the Bible says that Jehovah created them according to their kinds, which is very true. You can't interbreed, you know, a horse with a dog or a human with another animal, any other species. You can't interbreed these species because they don't have the ability for the what do we call those primary, those cells, whatever, the reproductive cells, are, they don't have the ability to combine and reproduce when they're from different species. But there are kinds that are specific, which within which reproduction can occur, within those kinds, like lions and tigers, in some cases, can interbreed. They're of the same kind, you know. So, in other words, the idea might be that cats can interbreed. That might be the idea, but it's not the same in every case, I don't think. But well, donkeys and horses. That's why we have mules, right? And things like that. I mean, these kinds exist where you can interbreed within the kind, but the species themselves are not changeable. They're evidently designed with the purpose of not being changeable. And to talk about them changing from one species to another is kind of an incredible ignorance of some kind, to ignore what's really happening. Yeah, what you are sowing, you will also reap, right? If you sow wheat, you're not going to reap corn. But that's sort of what evolution's saying. We're going to plant, we're going to start with one species, and we're going to reap another. You're going to end up with another species, which is not consistent with what we've observed. And that's why. No, that's not to say that it. That's not to say that. It couldn't happen. It's not to say that it can't be true. It's just to say that it's not been, as far as I'm aware, it's not been proven. But I'm also not interested in pursuing to find out who's doing research on evolution and whether they've proven it. I mean, eventually, if evolution were true, it will eventually come to light. But I don't think it. It can be a fad too. Like, people can say it's true, they can believe it, they can even think they've proven it, and it can turn out to be false again later on. They could say it just can be a fashion, a thing like fashion where it comes and goes. So to try it doesn't mention evolution in the Bible, so we know we don't need to know about it. It's not important. It's not at all important. The Bible knows that the earth was round, a sphere. The Bible knew that. It's in the Bible. It's also in the Bible that it was hanging on nothing. So it was out in space, hanging on nothing. Those are scriptures. We know from the Bible that the Bible was wiser than a lot of the scientific people who believed the earth was flat and that it was supported by turtles or whatever, you know, all the theories that they had that were not correct according to the Bible, but people believe all kinds of things. So, but we don't need to know anything other than the Bible as far as things like evolution. I mean, the thing is, it just could be a red herring, right? It could be a wild goose chase. So if we go down that path, we might waste a lot of energy and later on realize that was a false path. There is no such thing as evolution. That's the reason I'm saying we don't need to know. Now, some people might choose to go down that path. That's their own choice. We have free will. But we don't need to go down that path. And we know that because the Bible doesn't mention anything about it. So this idea that some people have that God caused evolution is another theory that some people have, that we need evolution. I heard one, this is the viewpoint that I got from somebody, but you know, it's not, I don't, it's clearly it's not true, so I shouldn't even be presenting that. We don't need something that's not been proven. If we're scientists, certainly we don't need an unproven theory. I mean, we just, there are lots of unproven theories. We don't need any of those. We need, what we do need to know is what can we do to understand things better. And it's not necessarily by taking any of these unproven theories and trying to, you know, promote them. It's kind of a way to artificially promote something. Anyway, it's kind of a way to distract attention away from the important things, is what it is. By getting, and this idea, it's a false idea that we should be pursuing after evolving. If we think evolution's true, that's why people use drugs, because they think that they can make their body better by experimenting and by randomly mutating their body using drugs. That's what leads to another reason that for why people use drugs. It's one of the things that leads to drug abuse, is this idea of evolution. It's a very dangerous thought. It's wrong because it doesn't show respect for what is created. Respect means let's try to understand what was created and how to actually make it work. Like, that's what vitamins do. They make it work. That doesn't mean, I'm not talking about eating vitamins without food. We need food. It's all about food and the vitamins that food contains. Ecclesiastes 11, send out your bread upon the surface of the waters. For in the course of many days you will find it again. Excuse me for a second here. I need to check something. I'm already over an hour, so this will be the last thing we do here. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what calamity will occur on the earth. If the clouds are filled with water, they empty out a sheer downpour upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or if to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will prove to be. He that is watching the wind will not sow seed, and he that is looking at the clouds will not reap. Just as you are not aware of what is the way of the spirit in the bones, in the belly of her that is pregnant, in like manner, you do not know the work of the true God who does all things. In the morning, sow your seed, and until the evening, do not let your hand rest. For you are not knowing where this will have success, either here or there, or whether both of them will alike be good. The light is also sweet, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. For if a man should live even many years, in all of them let him rejoice, and let him remember the days of darkness, though they could be many. Every day that has come in is vanity. Rejoice, young man, in your youth, and let your heart do you good in the days of your young manhood, and walk in the ways of your heart, and in the things seen by your eyes. But know that on account of all these, the true God will bring you into judgment. So remove vexation from your heart and ward off calamity from your flesh. For youth and the prime of life are vanity. Wow. So even though youth is so important, as far as it's the best time of life in many ways, we should rejoice in our youth. But it's still vanity. It's still vanity. And ward off calamity. You know, one way to take that is take the right foods, avoid drugs, you know, ward off calamity from your flesh. Don't be vexed either. Don't be pressured by the world. Remove vexation from your heart. Don't pay attention to the peer pressure. Ignore it. Or at least reject it. Deny it. Resist it with all that you are. Remove vexation. Don't allow yourself to become anxious and worried. But look at this, has so many great things. Yet look, the place where the tree falls. You don't know the work of the true God, just like you don't know what's going on in the belly of in the bones of the fetus, in the belly of a pregnant woman. You don't know the work of the true God. We don't even know how a fetus can grow. There's no one who knows even how a cell operates, let alone how growth occurs or any. Nothing do we understand. We understand nothing about how life works. So the idea that we could know how one species evolved, that's just nonsense. It never did evolve, but to pretend that we could know that it did evolve even is absurd. You know, in a way that's just completely ridiculous, considering we don't even know how the body that we now have functions. We don't even know how this body functions, or your body, or anyone's body, or any cell. We don't know how one cell functions. We don't even know how a single cell functions. If you look up calcium channels, the only thing the calcium channels exist in the heart cells, in the heart, where, you know, they use calcium blockers, so they know there are calcium channels in the heart, because they use drugs. And they write papers and scientific articles about calcium channels, but all cells have calcium channels. This is calcium channels are how the calcium gets into the cell, and that's how the nutrients are dragged into the cell. That's how all cells are fed, is by calcium dragging other nutrients into the cell. So that's the majority of all the feeding that goes on in the cells is done by the calcium channels, and nobody even writes about that. Basically, they don't even write about it. If you research it, you'll find zilch, pretty well nada, nothing about that, which is insanity when you consider. It's another example of vanity, right? But it's vain to even look for that, because you won't find anything. And yet, this is how the cell works, and we don't even know how the cell works at all. We don't have a clue. Nobody is even researching how the cell works. That's what we should be focusing on, is how does the cell work, and how can we get it to work better and for longer, and how do we prevent death? Not worrying about some fictitious idea that we want to believe is true, like that we can become more advanced by some random process. If you believe that, then you're going to live a random life, and you're going to believe in randomness, and you're not going to have any direction. You're not going to work with any purpose. You won't, you know, everything in your life will be meaningless relative to a person who believes in the gifts they were given in this species, this life, organism, this situation in which we now find ourselves, and making the most out of it now. Forgetting about this fictitious future, we can plan for the real future, right? I mean, that is continuing to order the thing. I've got to continue to order new things every day to make sure I don't run out of different things for the running of whatever things I have to do around here. I have to order new supplements, new gum, new duct tape, new whatever it is, you know, a new twine, or whatever I have to order, a new chainsaw chain, or whatever I have to, chainsaw sharpening device, whatever I have to order, all the different things I might have to order, there's just umpteen million of them. I mean, it seems like, and every day if I don't order the right things, that one day I could be, I could literally lose my life at some point because I didn't order that thing, you know. I mean, the power of knowing that this is the life we're living, not some future fantasy about randomly directed changes, it's not about respect or lack of, why would you respect that anyway? You can't respect randomness anyway, because it's not respectable. It's a non-concept. Randomness is not even a concept, so it's difficult to disrespect it, because there's no possible way you can show respect for it anyway. But it's not a concept. It's the lack of conception, and the lack of concept is what randomness is. So the idea that it can lead to something is just, it's just foolishness. But we don't have time to even think about it, because there's a life happening right now in the body we have now. We have to think about that and how to make it better in this body forget about this other nonsense. It's really literally nonsense. This is Ward Green. It's October 11th, 2022, and it's 14:26 hours. And yeah, you're welcome. Have a great day.